So good to have you this morning, and so glad that you are with us. Glad to have some back from not being well. That's always exciting. I know last week I didn't get to mention the Krulls as well, but it's good to have both of you here with us, and also good to have you as well. And so glad that you're able to be here. And Judy, good to have you back. It's okay to hobble into church. I'm good with that. And so don't ever be embarrassed. And obviously, it is tremendously exciting to see Gary and to know that he is on the road to recovery. So we're just praising God for his hand at work. And it's obvious that it is at work. And so we're going to start a new series today, and it's called Invoke. And I'm going to kind of take you on a journey in the next couple of weeks. I would really encourage you to be here for revival. Due to some scheduling stuff, it will not bleed into Sunday. And so Sunday, you just get me. And so I know that's disappointing, but anyway, I'm disappointed. But we'll have a good week leading up to it, and no judgment on Sunday, because I never like to follow pastors like Gene. And so I'll do my best to trust the Lord to move on that day, on Mother's Day. But anyway, if you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Psalm 61. And once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. God spoke to me, and I'm going to have you skip the next two slides because I put it in the wrong translation. And so the Lord gave me that word while we were praying. And so just skip those two slides, and we're going to read out of the Bible today. I was going to have you read with me. So if you'd like to read, you're welcome to from your seats. I just feel like it's exciting to read Psalms together. So starting in verse 1. Well, let's just do it. Is that okay? It's not going to be the right one that I want, but are you all okay with that? Yeah. Did you know I'm not perfect, right? Yeah. Ask Ashley. Okay. All right, let's go to the next slide then. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge. A strong tower against the foe, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wing. For you, O God, have heard my vow. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. God, today we thank you for these words that came from the heart of David. God, I pray today as we learn, as we grow, that maybe we would be more willing to seek you, to cry out to you, to call you, to know you. And so obviously David had some stressors, right? Could you imagine if you're
get aggravated. Y'all ever get aggravated? All right, good, you're with me. Good, it's not Easter and you're with me. So we're back to normal. Okay, so I get aggravated when I start something. And when you have six little ones, most of the time the intent that you have to finish it, it doesn't happen in that timeline. You know what I'm saying? Like you start the dishes and from a distance you hear what? Screaming, fighting, arguing, something happens, and it just seems to be all the time. If five are good, there's usually one that's off. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get all six all good. And anyway, yesterday we were all kind of busy, and I was doing something that she had asked me to do probably 30 times in a matter of an hour. I was doing 30 other things. I was trying to get her to recognize those things, but she said, "Do you see all that I do?" And I'm like, "Well, sometimes." But anyway, that's probably not the best response for your wife. And then I said, "Well, did you see all the things I do?" And we were kind of in that, like, you know, I don't know what we call that, outpacing. I do that more than she does. So anyway, I was doing it, and I heard something, and I can't remember what it was, but I had to go that direction because it was all coming towards me. And it's usually best to interfere it before it gets to you, because by that time there's a lot of falling out and a lot of, like, just, you know what I'm saying? And so you got to pick them up and put them back together. And so I was heading that way. Well, I ended up outside around the corner and then back in the front, because now we got this part of the fence done. We let the little banshees loose outside. And so I run around the corner and deal with whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. I come back in and I see her doing what? Finishing what I started. I was like, "Look, lady," I said, I didn't say that, right? But I said, "Actually, I was doing that. That's what you always say." And I said, "You know what? Forget it. I'm done. I won't do anything." So anyway, and I got right back to doing everything. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding, doing some things. But sometimes we invoke each other, don't we? To anger, to annoyance. Thankfully, after church today, we're going two different directions, so I won't see her till tonight. And so I can just talk about this tonight. But unfortunately, oftentimes, in our closest of relationships, we don't always invoke the best in the other person. It's just the truth. And see, sometimes in our relationship with God, we don't always invoke all that He wants to give us because of what we do to invoke Him. Interestingly enough, David does a beautiful job here of invoking the Lord, and we're going to take a little journey to get to that. But let's just review so you know what it is. It's to call on. Specifically here, he is calling on a deity, meaning God, in prayer as a witness, and he was also asking for inspiration and protection and favor. And so when we go before the Lord, we should be calling on him for favor. I often say this, it's okay to call on God, right, for favor. It's okay to go before him confidently, but I want to review three things before you do that. Is that okay? Are you ready for this?
In order to go invoke our God, we must what? Know our God. We must know him. To the situations that we find ourselves in can be answered through our relationship with our God. I love this. So let's just review what he said, okay? First he said, what? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." How many times is your prayer, "Lead me to the rock that is you are greater than. So let's just take it to where you're at today. I want you to think today. Where are you? What adversity are you facing? What health problem are you facing? What family situation are you facing? Or maybe it's when you turn on the news, you're just so discouraged. I've been a little discouraged. We have these three families and support families that are ready to take, and I keep pulling the trigger and saying, because I get a call, and then they tell me to call them, and I call them, and then they say, no, the government said that they can't. Or the government said that they're not, well, it's just crazy. Church, I understand that when it is ready and when God is ready, he'll do it. Here, David is saying, you know what? Let me start out with this song by saying, you are higher, greater, bigger. So, in your obstacle, let's call it right now, are you recognizing him as higher, greater, larger, vaster? Do you put that first before you even talk to him about the... David decided not to live in his feelings, but paused and looked outside of himself. You know, most of you, when adversity comes, you sit in your feelings. Can I throw something else out? Are you okay with this? Most of you get comfortable, and then you don't even have to put him, because the Americans are stuck in the lie and sin of comfort. Y'all are comfortable. Let's just be honest. If I took a poll of AFC, there's only about 15 to 20 of you that aren't comfortable. Is that okay to say? I'm comfortable. And so what we decided as a family, you might think this is crazy, but we were comfortable for kids. Evidence, when they went on their two-week respite, it was like a quiet, which you can imagine, quiet in our levels, not like quiet in most of your homes, but it's quiet to us, you know what I'm saying? So they went on respite, and we decided that we were too comfortable, and that there were kids that need Jesus that we could take in. Church, this is not a song or a prayer of comfort. We'll get to that at the end. So, God is not calling us to be comfortable, but many of us live in that, and that pleasure keeps us from really sacrificing for God. It's why when we really need him and we invoke his presence, he kind of comfortably comes to us. Well, you know, you're kind of comfortable with me, and I'm going to be comfortable with you, and I'm going to sit in my recliner, and when I'm ready, I'm going to... You say, wait, that's not our God. I don't know. But see, when you're passionately seeking, I believe he passionately... I believe when you're, like, going after everything that he has for you, he responds with everything that he has. Before we invoke the presence of God, we should understand the person and character of God. And then, as we understand his character, as we understand what breaks his heart, as we understand what drives him, kind of leading off of last Sunday, I'm telling you, there is something about Jesus going after the two that went back to Emmaus, leaving the, you can't tell me that we're not to be about. In fact, you can believe it in your heart and think we should just stay inside here, but I wouldn't speak it out. I'd be careful what you say to your friend. I'd be careful what you voice out in your... Let's just be real, we're in a holiness church. Because Jesus showed us once again, even after death, that as they were comfortable and got it, he went and said, why aren't you getting it? And their lives were never the same. Comfort is the enemy. We spend our energy seeking within ourselves for answers in life. You will come up short. What's nice, though, in America, we're okay with coming up short because overall we're still comfortable. And yet here, and here's what I want you to get, and he does a good job of this. If you understand the Psalms, it's actually like a beautiful example of how our lives should be lived. But he usually talks about the highness, the greatness, the vastness, the expansion of God first, and then goes into the rest. But church, if you don't know God, don't expect from him. And then don't go to your pastor and say, well, you know, I've been all my life, and yet I don't feel like he's with me now. What have you been doing all your life? Church or passionately seeking Christ? You know, I can say this from here, but you come to my office and I'm going to say, oh my goodness, let's pray. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to be that bold one-on-one, but I'll be that bold here because I'm not pointing at any of you. It's really the Lord saying, do you know me? If you want to invoke me, do you know me? I can say things to Ashley that I wouldn't say anywhere else. Why? Because I know her. I trust her. I believe in her. I know her character. I know her heart. So if you want to really get to know God and have the ability to go to him confidently, then know him first. And so I think if you're comfortable today and you're not uncomfortable about something that he's calling you to, then you're maybe not totally in the know. Now, David said this, not me. Second thing, in order to go invoke our God, we must dwell with our God. Now, I talk a lot about dwelling, only because the word actually talks a lot about dwelling. In fact, tabernacling is like a thing, and we've learned about it, we've studied it, and so we're going to review it again because David here is talking about dwelling. This idea of dwelling was often used in the language of the Old Testament, so I want to take you to two places. In fact, there's two places that relate to this place, and he was actually saying, I don't want that. And so let's review it real quick. Ruth, chapter 1:1, if you have your Bibles. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judea went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, this was going to a place to dwell that was not where God intended them, obviously, right to be. Interesting that he would use, or that this would relate to the same language. Then you go to Jeremiah 42. Obviously, you're like, well, how does that have to do with dwelling with God? If you go all the way down to verse 15, shall follow close after you to Egypt, and there you shall die. And all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to live there shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. They shall have no remnant or survivor from the disaster that I will bring upon them. Interesting that he uses similar language to the way it's used in these scriptures. Now, obviously, not being known, but similar in that he was saying, I want to dwell with you, not with outside of. See, many of us, we have this idea that we're dwelling with, but he was recognizing that it's possible that he could be dwelling outside of, because if you know about what happened between he and his son, he did end up on the outskirts, and this was a struggle for him. And so he talks about, I want to dwell with you, not out in the, where are you dwelling? Here, this term dwell refers to the one who worships in God's temple, and as one who is a permanent being of worship. Now, I love this idea of temple. We don't talk much about the temple, but here it translates as tent and tabernacle. And so he's talking about the place of worship. And really, most theologians say it actually refers specifically to the place of meeting. Now, when y'all meet together, what happens? You meet, right? Listen, I wanted to say this. I feel like our Sunday school, every class is a happening place, okay? We had our little class spring party on Friday night, and I was just so encouraged to watch everyone sit around and love each other. And I know many of your Sunday school classes, you're having parties and you're having times of meeting and gatherings, and I'm so proud of you because you're beginning to really understand and have those relationships, and many of you, I've modeled after you. When we get together and we meet, right, whether it be at our homes, whether it be in our classrooms, what are we hoping for? A lot of things. We're hoping to have relationship. We're hoping to have connection with God. We're hoping to have support. We're hoping to, and I love here that he was saying, I want to be in a place of dwelling with you and meeting with you. I just love that word. We could just stay there today. Think about it. He's saying, I want to meet with you wherever I dwell. Come on now. I want to meet with you wherever I dwell. So I love this process. He actually hasn't asked for anything yet. You get this? He actually hasn't asked for anything. He started out by saying, you are. And then he went into saying, I want to dwell with you. So wherever you meet, I want to meet there. So if it means I have to go and be separate from my kingdom, as long as I'm meeting with you, I'm okay. Y'all don't get excited about that? Shouldn't your prayer life be, God, wherever you are, I want to be too. Wherever you go, I want to go there. Even if maybe my flesh doesn't like it, I want to be there, so I better just go with you. Now, if you translate it in other places, it's a place of experience, a place of gathering, a place of safety. All really good things, right? We like safety, don't we? We like gathering. We like experiencing together. And so, take refuge in him and him alone. Where is your refuge? Better stated, where is your safe place? Where does your release? Where are those secret moments that it's just you and God? Do you have them? Because if you don't have those secret moments where he's whispering into you, then you're missing out. You're missing out. And I wouldn't hope for it to just happen here. If my spiritual journey was just based on what happens here, then it would be pretty dry. Because we're only here for a couple of hours. And then we go out, and I want to meet with him tomorrow. Okay, so now, are you ready for this? Now we get to, you like the ask, right? In order to go invoke our God, we must what? Ask. Now you're going to not like how I end this. Is that okay? As long as you know it's not for me. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. If you think about it, he begins to say what? Prolong the life, think about that word, of the king. Now he's talking about who? Y'all, he's talking about himself, right? And so we're now finally down to, we're finally down to the ask. He says, prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. I love how he's kind of talking in like, you know what I'm saying? You know why he's doing that, right? Oh, it's so good. Okay? Because he's talking about the king, about whoever God places there. Come on now. This is where you really see. I hate that we stereotype David. We just put a stereotype, but here he's saying, yeah, I want it personal, but I'm not going to use my language. I'm going to say, okay, let me just be a little bit sacrificial. And whoever you've anointed, whoever you've appointed, I hope it's me. I'm kind of talking in that language. If God, you could please let it continue to be me. But he's not saying me. He's saying king. Him. So it's like kind of connected, but not connected, which tells us what? There's some unselfishness here. So when you invoke God, is it all selfish? Think about this word life. Now, it translates as Y-O-M-E, not gnome, as in like the little yard gnomes or the Travelocity gnome, but I guess you would say yom. Yom. I like Yosef. Do y'all want to just start calling me Yosef? I like that. Yosef. I'm like, yes, what's up? Let's talk Jewish. Anyway, so Yosef, I love it. Wouldn't that be cool if I came home and you said, Yosef, you're home. Yeah. I have a really funny joke I'm not going to use right now. I heard somebody tell it to me, and I won't do it. Okay. What's interesting here is that you translate life, and normally we think what? Like we're breathing and we're alive and we're going to heaven and it's eternal life. Did you know here it doesn't mean that? It means to be hot. Y'all know I'm hot, right? I'm just kidding. I felt like saying that. Anyway, y'all are just, see, maybe some of you are too older to know what that meant. So when I was in high school, if you said she's hot, that meant, you know, she's beautiful, right? Okay, anyway, when I saw her, I said, man, she's hot. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't go too far. Yeah, just be preaching, right? Anyway, he said, look, to be hot. Now, I struggled with this because I wanted to just say, well, you know, we could be like good Christians, just read the Bible and say that it just means life. And so he wants life as in like breathing, but he actually meant hot. And then if you further read it, it actually is telling us that he wanted to be like the fruitful parts of the day. Come on now. He was saying to God, I don't want to be the night. I don't want to be the time of nap. I don't want to be the cloudy. I don't want to be the rainy. I don't want to be the, I want to be when it's the perfect time of the weather where everything can grow and everything can happen and everything is multiplying. That's the kind of life I want. That's why you dig into your scripture. That's why you don't just read it and just pass it by. And many of you today are not hot. You're just not. You think you're hot, but your pleasure is actually what's hot, not your life. We were comfortable. And she said, it's time. And I said, oh, babe, but everything's kind of finally like, the kids, like, they do their thing, and I don't have to, like, wipe anything. Or, you know, I said, it's just, you know, unless there's a nose that they can't get, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're past all that. I mean, do you really want to pull that bucket back out? And you know, and then the Lord convicted me that night and said, all right, it's time to pull the bucket back out. What's funny is God will give you what you ask for. You get your certificate one day and they call you the next day. And I'm like, they didn't give us like a window to, so Abby, don't get too comfortable. So the most useful times of the day in the scripture, go ahead and pull up the Beacon Wesleyan. It'll tell you of the year. So he was saying, forget it all. I just want to be fruitful for good. It's a little bit of a transition in his heart. I also like that he didn't use the if language. Well, if you feel like, well, if you want to heal, well, if you want to, you know, as Americans, we put in the if language. In India, in Brazil, in Africa, in South Africa, the places that I've been, I was fascinated because I was younger when I did these trips and this mission work, and I would come out, I remember saying to Dorothy, you know, I never hear, after 3 weeks in India, I said, I never hear them pray if. Now, mind you, we're talking, I won't say, 20-some years ago, right? And I was a kid in a Nazarene church where we went to the altar and say, if it be your will, if you want to, if you feel like it. I mean, we just prayed those things out loud for many years. I wonder when we go to God and say, if it be your, if you'd like to, well, when you get to it, the problem is in the scripture, we don't see that. You say, well, Jesus did. It's a little different. Then he said, I want you to go do greater things. How many of us have achieved greater things? Well, if it be your will, we'll do greater things at AFC. But right now, I'm going to stay comfortable so it's not. How many of you all struggle with confidence? Come on now, we all have. I struggle with it every Sunday morning. God, do you really want me to? Is this really the place that? Are you sure I'm a speaker? I think we all struggle with confidence. But you know what's funny? Is we serve a confident God. And so if we serve a confident God who actually knit you together, then you should be a confident person in who you are, what you look like, how you're created, your hair color, whether it's there or not. You should just be in confidence that this is how God. You know what the enemy says? Well, you know, you're not like so-and-so, so you probably shouldn't. David at the time was what? Struggling with his kinship. He was experiencing a vast amount of emotions. But what's interesting here is you don't see that. You don't see it in how he worships and speaks to God. But yet when you put it in the lifespan, it should have been, I can't believe I'm here. Why is this happening? I already asked for forgiveness. Where are you at? What's happening? But it wasn't present. Think about this. You may be experiencing an array of emotions in your life experiences currently, but our ability to invoke the attention of our Lord and Savior can only come through knowing our God, dwelling with our God, and then becoming willing to confidently ask from our God. Now, if you put that in front, then we're talking about pre-salvation prayers. Now let's do the hardest statement of the day. Are you ready? Maybe it is time we become confident and invoke our God on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of the mission of AFC, our city, many cities represented here, our nation, and other nations. Or I want you to think about this. Maybe the reason you scoff at confidently going to the Lord to invoke his attention is because of the secrets that lie beneath the awareness of others and ultimately separate you from his presence. Maybe that's why you say to me, we really shouldn't. It's because you're afraid that if we do, it might expose your level of willingness to sacrifice, because it only goes so deep and it only goes so wide. And it's because you live in a darkness that no one else knows about. And so maybe the reason our churches aren't exploding is because we're not willing to completely invoke the presence of God to pour out. Mary, you got time? As I sought the Lord for direction for this, and it's a hard one. It's the Sunday after Easter. I serve in America, so I serve a comfortable nation. You may not think it's comfortable, but I don't know. I was on the phone this week with a man who was in a stadium in Mexico with Ukrainian refugees, and all I could hear was crying, like loud crying. And I said, what is that behind you? And he said, it's all the children in the stadium crying. It's constant. And the government's holding it up. So don't believe all you hear. And so I think in order to invoke God for more, you might have to be willing to really know him and his heart, to really dwell where he's meeting, not where you're meeting. Because some of the places you're going, even in your mind, he can't meet you there. He can't meet you in some of the things you say. He can only forgive you. And so maybe the lack of revival in the United States is because we just if we really do this, we've got to get rid of. So, the altars are open. He's hoping. Would you turn the lights down? Is that okay? Or maybe the reason you scoff at confidently going to the Lord to invoke his attention is because of the secrets that lie beneath the awareness of others and ultimately separate you from his presence. So you keep surface level Christianity and religion present. It's the plague of the church. So why don't you just close your eyes? Maybe today is the day that you leave comfort. And you say, I'm okay. To leave that space, enter into a new one, and then go before the Lord confidently. The altars are open. Nobody's looking. Nobody should care the reason that you're going, because that's not what it's about. But maybe you want to invoke your God, because he's your God. He's my God, but he's your God. Maybe you want to invoke him today and cry out and ask and request and know and see. It's also okay to invoke God's presence about other people that you love and hold dear. God, we come confidently before your throne. Help us, Lord. I guess my prayer today is that we would have a desire to know you, to put you first. To remind ourselves daily. I love that he says, in this psalm, like, higher than I. It's such a great reminder. And then he talks about his desire to dwell where you are and to meet there. Just pray that that's our desire. And then he asks, let me have life. Life that remains in a state of producing for your sake. God, let that be our prayer. Whew. Imagine that. Producing. We love you. We honor you. Be with our teachers today as they confidently proclaim your word. God, challenge us. Continue to be with those this week that Phyllis's family, Greg's family, Lord, embrace them in these times and these days. We love you. We praise you. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a great afternoon.
I'm so excited to be with you. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, May 4, 5, and 6. I thought I would share a little bit of the design. Wednesday night, the 4th, Jesus is the great storyteller, but I have a story for you that's the most encouraging story I've ever heard. Maybe you felt defeated. You know someone...